So happy to see you all today. Amen. Thank you for all of you who serve, who do something in some capacity, whether you usher or teach or praise, play, whatever it is. We appreciate you, and we just thank you for your ministry. Today we're going to talk about a very familiar topic. We're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It's a familiar passage for many, many of us, and I probably haven't spoken on this passage in a long time, but it's so great when you read a passage for I don't know how many times, and then the Lord gives you something else for his people. And so he's given me a message today about prayer and about persistence in prayer. How many of you know you have to persist in this life? Because this Christian life is not an easy life to live every day. And so I was listening to, I think it was David Jeremiah this morning, and he was just talking about, endurance or something. And so he says, somebody said, this Christian life is just so daily. It's just so daily. It's just daily. It's just, there's no getting around it. There's no, you know, next week I'll pick it back up. It's just so daily. And I thought that was really funny and very, very true, that it is a daily life, a daily grind, sometimes just a daily grit that you just have to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep persisting. And Jesus tells a story in Luke 18. In fact, it's a parable. So it's a story that it's a fictitious story, but it has a message. And so this parable is the parable of the persistent widow in chapter 18. So we're going to read that. If you could stand as we read verses 1 through 8, that would be great. So it's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And it says this: Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that we can have a relationship with you. We thank you, God, that you care about our requests, and that if we continue to persist, God, that you will answer us by and by. We thank you, Lord, for the words, for the message. And God, we pray that this message would not fall on deaf ears, but that we would take it into our hearts. And God, that we would live a different life every day because we know that we can trust you. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen. Amen. Please be seated. Faith. He talks about persistence here and faith, the confidence confidence in the person of Jesus Christ and in his power, so that even when his power does not serve my end, my confidence in him remains because of who he is. That was said by Ravi Zacharias, a philosopher, apologist, and evangelist. Such important words: persistence, faith, the person of Christ. Even sometimes when I don't know what God is doing, even when his power doesn't serve my own stuff, my confidence in him remains because of who God is. But there are issues with us in prayer. Because this widow here, she says, grant me justice against my adversary. And at that time, when you were a widow, you didn't have anyone to back you up. There's no husband, there's nobody sometimes in order to take care of that family. And God, in Israel, God commanded Israel that they would take care of widows and orphans, that they would not leave them in the streets to starve and really to die and to beg and all of that stuff. So Israel was different. And so this woman goes to this judge. Whatever's happened in her life, she's asking for protection. Protection so that she can be and become the person that she is supposed to be. Amen? That she can become all that she is supposed to be in Israel, which means that she can thrive. We sung that song this morning, Thrive. God wants what? Widows and orphans to thrive. And she went to get justice so that she could thrive. Whatever that was, whether it was physical protection or money, whatever that was, we don't exactly know what it was, but we know that she went to a judge who was in charge of that particular town or that particular city and said, you know what? Grant me justice. I need protection because I'm a widow. And that's the responsibility of this town and of this judge. And so he refused, thinking that this is not my problem. I don't fear God, I don't know God, I really don't care about God. But because she was persistent, right? She continues to go back and go back and go back and go back. And he's like, she's getting on my nerves. So I'm gonna do something before she comes back and beats me up. And before she makes me get a bad reputation out there, because my reputation probably isn't already great. So the widows they need to be cared for. And the adversary turns out to be those things that threaten her existence to be all that she can be. So who or what are adversaries? Because we have to bring this down into our own existence every day. And I'd say that we also have adversaries, that we also have those things that keep us from pursuing God. We're supposed to pray, but we have things that keep us from pursuing God, that keep us from engaging in that relationship with him. And so our adversarial are our emotional states that keep us from pursuing God in prayer. They keep us from being all that we can be. So these adversarial states conflict with God's promises for us. So what kinds of things conflict with God's promises for us? Confusion conflicts with God's promises. You know, sometimes you just have confusion in the house. Amen? Confusion, or just sin, period, conflicts with who we are. Anger conflicts with who we are. Guilt and shame. We have had a lot of that recently, haven't we? In the news. Guilt and shame conflicting with who you're supposed to be. People, I'm like, are you serious? Seriously? Do you have really that's a problem every single day for you, that you cannot conduct yourself in a way that is above? Oh, interesting. But sin is still sin, isn't it? Unforgiveness, things that keep us from pursuing God in prayer. What about worry? Anybody a worrier? We have some in here. I know we do. We have worriers in here. Okay. So worry keeps us from what? From prayer. It keeps us from a relationship with God because what? The worry takes over. And we have those passages that say be anxious for nothing and all of that, but we still are anxious for something. Busyness, and I'm talking about busyness, B-U-S-Y, just being busy, busy and distracted. How many of you are distracted on a daily basis? Just distracted. There's so many things, whether it's financial, whatever it is, there are distractions of life every single day. Things that keep us in that adversarial state, that keeps us from becoming all that we can be. But if you're reading your Bible, and if you are really accepting God's promises, then you got to know that when God promises peace, he makes good on peace. When God promises joy, he makes good on joy. When God promises to remove guilt and shame, he does so. There's no amount of stain that can prevent him from cleansing your life. When God promises he'll fight the battles, we only need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Even when there's confusion, God promises to make your enemies be quiet and leave you alone. In his book, Sir Thomas Merton was a Catholic writer. In his book, Thoughts on Solitude, or Thoughts in Solitude, he wrote these 15 lines that have become known as the Merton Prayer. It says this, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." A great prayer to just remember that sometimes we don't know where we are, or where we're going, or how we're going to get there. We just don't, but we know that we serve this great, great God. But we still have to persist in faith and in prayer. So what does persistence look like? You know, nothing can get in your way. Nothing can get in your way. Distraction must be met with regrouping. Busyness must be met with slowing down and taking the time to go back to the discipline of focus. Praying without ceasing means that you continue to bring your requests before God, but you live life like he's going to work out the problem or the problems. And so what does that look like? That as we grow, As we trust God and as we pray, it doesn't necessarily mean that 3 times a day or 4 times a day I'm going to get on my knees and pray. That's not what Jesus is talking about, because he says this is not about repetitiveness. This is not about every day at a particular time bowing down and doing prayer 5 times a day. But this is to have a prayerful attitude. God knows our requests. This is about living according to his will through those requests and trusting him that he is going to work out the issue. So do I need to like get on my knees now because it's 11:10? God says pray without ceasing, but it's an attitude of prayer. An attitude. Now, I'm not saying that takes up saying the Lord's Prayer or praying specifically for your requests at given times, like in the morning or whatever you do your morning prayers or your evening prayers, whatever time you do them. But I am saying that this is not a regimented deal here. that this is a life that you're living, trusting him, that you've given him those requests, and that the more you live your life according to his will, the more you know he's going to work that out. He is going to work it out. Now, I've been talking to you all about the fact that I'm not working, and Friday I had that exam for work that they were requiring me to go to see if I was fit for duty, fit to work. And the guy, the doctor who did the examination and did the interview, he was the nicest guy. He was a really nice guy. Talked to me about his family and what he was doing, and I was like, well, this is really strange. But anyway, we just had like this great conversation. And he says to me, he says, oh, there's nothing to prevent you from working medically. He said, but it's all up to them. So I still have to wait for his report and all of that. I have to wait for the city to get back to me. It's gonna take him several weeks just to produce the report. But what I'm saying is that from the beginning, sometimes it was difficult to really see what God was doing. But then after a time, and you just learn how to trust him because you know he's taking care of you all the time before. And so what would prevent him from taking care of me or taking care of you in the future or taking care of whatever your needs are? So a lot of times it's a battle in the mind. It's something that you have to overcome, because all the time the enemy wants to try to make you worry or go back to a certain state, to think that you're not going to have enough, that you're not going to financially be able to provide for yourself, that you're going to be sick and never be able to work again. And all of those things start to play in your mind, or that you're not going to have someone in your life, or whatever that is. He begins to work and eat away at those thoughts that are good and right and righteous. So we're always having to what? We're always having to regroup, always having to rethink, always having to go back to the Lord in prayer, always having to stand on the promises that he has given us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Hey. So praying without ceasing then means that we continue to bring our requests before God, but we live life like he's going to work out the problem or problems. And that looks like this, that we continue to grow in faith, in character, and in hope while God works it out. Persistence in prayer requires passion, bravery, courage. A woman at that time going to a judge that really doesn't care. That requires some passion, some bravery, some courage. It requires courage for us to continue to go back to God about those things that he knows that bother us and things that he knows that we're praying about for our lives. We have to trust in a God who masters in everything good and perfect in spite of the adversarial emotions that attack us daily. The woman in the parable was so passionate about her request. Nothing else mattered. Even the judge felt threatened. God would not be threatened when we go to him, but how much more, Jesus said, would God respond in love to our requests if we keep crying out for help? How much more will God respond, because he's a God who loves us, if we keep crying out for help? So here's the message. Don't give up. You can't give up. So just like I said in the beginning, this Christian life is so daily. You just can't give up. You have to continue to push through and pray. Pray like he says. Jesus says what? Pray and not give up. Pray without ceasing. God will work it out. In 1880, this is a great story, a Christian couple, George and Sarah Clark, purchased the lease for the Pacific Beer Garden. Promptly dropping the word beer, the couple added the word mission and launched a ministry to homeless alcoholics and downtrodden men and women. Thus was born the Pacific Garden Mission of Chicago, the Old Lighthouse, the second oldest rescue mission in the United States. Colonel and Mrs. Clark bore the cost of the mission themselves, but as expenses grew and the ministry expanded, their funds ran low. Eventually, the day came when they could not pay the rent. Attempts to secure the needed funds failed, and Colonel Clark was told that he only had 24 hours to make the payment. Otherwise, he would lose his lease, and the Pacific Garden Mission would close. Throughout the night, Colonel and Mrs. Clark prayed, asking God to guide and to provide in his own way and time. They reminded the Lord of the souls being saved each night, of the men and women whose lives were being salvaged. They asked him why they should find themselves in such straits while trying to do his work. Have you ever wondered why you're in such dire straits, while you're trying to do God's work? That things just happen sometimes? Nothing that's your fault, but things just happen. Sometimes your life gets tough. Things get a little bit difficult to navigate. That's what this story is talking about here. They want to find why when we're doing this great work, are we having these issues? But determining to trust and not to question, they remained before the throne of grace in simple faith and in earnest pleading until the breaking of dawn. When they emerged from their Morgan Park house that morning, they gasped. What had happened to their front yard? It was covered with something white, something that instantly reminded them of the manna of the Old Testament. Looking closer, they discovered their lawn was filled with mushrooms of the very best quality, which were quite mysterious because it wasn't the season for mushrooms. Gathering the crop, the Clarks carted the mushrooms down the street and sold them to the chefs at the Palmer House, the famed hotel just off Michigan Avenue, for a large price. The receipts were enough to pay the rent, with enough left over to meet other ministry expenses. So the Pacific Garden Mission carried on its work undeterred. God answers prayer. I remember reading a story about, this was a long time ago, Billy Graham, who was doing evangelistic outreaches in New York City, and he was doing it close to LaGuardia Airport, and the noise from the planes were preventing him from speaking, from people hearing him, and he prayed up there at the podium that the planes would be diverted, and the next day, and things quieted down. The next day in the newspaper, the winds had shifted and those planes were diverted. And he was able to carry on his evangelistic crusade at that point. This was some years ago. But God answers prayer. We just have to trust and believe that he will, no matter what the situation is, no matter how distraught we are, no matter how impossible it seems, because there's nothing that's impossible for our God. Nothing is impossible for him, nothing. We might look at it and think, oh, how is this ever gonna work out? But God is able to do above and beyond what we can imagine or think, amen? That's why he is who he is. So prayer is not, you know, when we don't hear an answer to prayer, we might think that God is reluctant to help us, but that's not it. When we pray, we are laying hold of God's highest willingness to do what he wants to do in our lives. So when God is silent, his silence to my questions, his silence to your questions, to your issues, is not a door slammed in your face. But you have to remember that even though God is silent, that you still have him. That even when you don't hear anything, that you still know, I still have God. I have him every single moment of every single day. He knows what my issues are. I can trust him because he's going to do what's best, and he's going to do what's right in my life. So we have persistence, and then we have passion, the passion to continue to go and go and keep going and keep going and keep trusting and keep believing that God is going to do what he's going to do. And then in the end, you know what? Sometimes you just have to turn on the music or turn up the music in your heart and praise the Lord. Because praise is important. It's important to praise God, to sing those songs of Zion, to really fill your heart or let your heart be filled with joy, to really trust that God is able to do whatever it is that he wants to do in your life. The thing is that you've got to fix those adversarial states that go on a daily basis. Amen. So you've got to what? Pursue joy. You've got to pursue peace. You've got to pursue self-discipline. You have to pursue all those things, self-control. You have to pursue those things, love and forgiveness and all of those things. You've got to. Because if you don't, you can't really fully praise the Lord like you need to, or like we need to, amen? Because those things get in the way. And then at the end of that passage, it says, will God find such faith on the earth? Interesting question that Jesus asks. Will he find faith in me? Will he find faith in you? Will you trust him to be all and do all that he's going to do without becoming caught up in the daily stuff that sin wants to suck us into? Can you live a life of faith? Can you trust? You sang that song earlier about touching the hem of his garment, that the woman had faith. That if she just reached out and touched the hem of his garment, who would think if I touch somebody's clothes that I'm going to be healed? But she did have that kind of faith. And Jesus, you know, on several occasions, not just with her, with a couple of other people, said, you know what? I haven't found this faith in Israel. Will he find this faith in you? Will he find this kind of faith that trusts him no matter what's going on in your life? No matter what's disrupting, will he find faith in you to continue to pray and not lose heart and not faint and not give up, knowing that he's going to take care of me and take care of you? So that's our lesson for today. It's our lesson for today. It should be encouraging to you that God answers prayer and that he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you all the time. Amen? He wants to hear from you. Amen. The doors of the church are open. I have somebody who will come up and just pray.